Well, if you're new today or newish, we are on the last week of a five-week series called The Disciples' Path. So really, you're really coming in on the end of a continual series that has kind of been building off of the previous week. And to Zion, I want you to know something. This series was never intended to simply be five sermons. As we began to think about this message series, the desire, the design, the hope, the prayer is that this series, the language, the model, the metaphor, the imagery, all of the things that we've been unpacking over the last several weeks would become part of our ongoing language as a church when we think about discipleship and disciple making, when we think about being in each other's lives to encourage and challenge and stretch each other, that we can go back to this imagery and have good conversations to help one another continue moving forward on our discipleship path. This series really was and is about helping us think about that pathway of discipleship and asking two clear questions, right? We've said it about every week. Where am I and what's my next step? That's what this series has been about, is to think about discipleship as a journey, as a pathway, and to always be willing to ask ourselves, where am I at on this pathway? Identify yourself, and then say, okay, what do I need to do to continue to move forward? And we have, again, tried to tease out each of the mile markers. I'm going to throw that next slide up on the screen just as a review. The 5 mile markers we've said, start with exploring. We start week one. That's when you say, I'm curious about following Jesus, but I have questions. And what we said is curious isn't far. And so if you're here today and you would say, that's kind of where I'm at. Great. I'm glad that you're here. We want to be a church that lets you be curious, that lets you ask questions, that walks alongside of you to hopefully lead you to that next step in your discipleship pathway, which is when you begin, right? This is when you cross the line. You say, I'm all in. I'm going to follow Jesus, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I need somebody to show me how. Show me what this Christian life is supposed to look like. Some of you are at that stage, and that's awesome, that we want to be a church that can have some people come around you to show you what it looks like to follow Jesus, which then leads us to the next stage in our pathway, which is growing. This is when we begin to build habits, when we begin to feel that sense of belonging, and when we're being rooted in our identity, who we are. We've said this, that growing never ends, that what comes after growing will never be possible when we stop growing, that we are always building habits, we're always connecting in community, we're always trying to remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, that our growing stage never really ends. But that's not where it's supposed to end on the pathway, that we should move on. And last week we talked about maturing. And this is a place that a lot of believers never get to. But it's a place that we begin to say, you know what? I'm growing, I'm taking responsibility for my own journey, I'm taking responsibility for my own growth. I now recognize that my life is to be lived beyond myself, that I'm supposed to take ownership of what's going on when it comes to the mission of God, when it comes to the mission of the church. I'm willing to shoulder some responsibilities. I'm thankful for a church that has a lot of maturing men and women who take ownership of the things that are happening here at Zion. And today, we're going to talk about reproducing. If some of you don't like that word reproducing, you can substitute the word multiplying. We just chose the word reproducing because it communicates, right? So either one, reproducing, multiplying. But this is the place that, again, a lot of Christians never get to. I'll say this, most Christians never get to this place in their journey. But this is the place where you are saying, I'm going to intentionally invest in others so that they can follow Jesus in a way that lets them help somebody else follow Jesus. All right, and we're going to unpack that. We're going to work through that today. And again, we need to make sure we understand the difference between maturing and reproducing. We'll put a couple of slides up on the screen just so you see the difference. Maturing is when your faith turns outward and you start carrying real responsibility. Again, first of your own growth, but beyond that, you're serving, you're owning things around the church, you're owning things when it comes to the mission, you're building up the body, those things matter. But reproducing is when you don't just carry responsibility for ministry, and here's the key, you intentionally carry responsibility for a person. You carry responsibility for a person. Maturing says, I'll carry the load. Reproducing says, I'll raise up others to carry the load too. Maturing says, I'll serve and surrender to the King. Reproducing says, I'll help someone else serve and surrender to the King. And again, that's where we're going today. Let's one more time revisit that metaphor of the road trip. We've used that several times. Think about the road trip. When you're a kid, you're just along for the ride. Sleeping, eating snacks, asking how much longer. You contribute very little to the success of the journey. Eventually, you grow up and you can carry a bag, you can pump the gas, you can help, you know, determine, you know, where we're going to stop for lunch. There's maturing going on. But there's another stage using this same metaphor. It's when you're not just helping with the trip anymore. The final stage is when you're teaching someone else how to drive. That's what this stage is about. Again, if you've ever taught somebody how to drive, you understand it's different. It's different than being behind the wheel on your own, right? Because when you're teaching someone else how to drive, you're not thinking just about how to arrive safely yourself. You're trying to help the other person become capable of getting someplace on their own without your help. And it takes a lot to teach somebody else how to drive. And it takes a lot when it comes to helping somebody else learn to follow Jesus. But that's what we're called to. And again, let me be clear. This part of our faith journey is not just intended for elite Christians. It's really what happens when a normal follower of Jesus begins to live intentionally for somebody else's spiritual good. And with that said, let me invite you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and if you all are staring down at my shoe, I'm going to turn my back to you and tie my shoe because it's untied. How many of you noticed that? All right, so we'll just get that out of the way so that you're not worried about it and I'm not stressed about it as well. 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, the verses will be up on the screen in a minute. And if you need a Bible, we have a copy of the scriptures out in the lobby. Grab your own copy of the Bible on the table out there. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2. As a pastor, I can't go to a conference, listen to a podcast, read a book about discipleship, about multiplying, about reproducing as a church, without the pastor, the speaker, the podcaster going to this text. This is the classic text that we get, you know, taught again and again, we go to again and again when it comes to this idea of becoming a multiplying church that produces multiplying Christians. And again, it's the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, the second letter that he wrote to Timothy. And I just want to read two verses, starting in chapter 2, verse number 1. Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, "You then, my child," spiritual child, not biological child, "be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Again, those two verses have so much, and we're going to try to unpack just those two verses for a few minutes this morning. Paul is not just giving Timothy a leadership tip, he's giving him a discipleship pattern. And if we slow down, what you see in these two verses is four generations of disciple makers. Did you pick up on that? Did you see that? We see that Paul entrusted the gospel to Timothy, And he tells Timothy to teach it to other men who then would be able to teach it to other men. Four generations. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful people, and then faithful people to others also. All right? That's different. Multiplication is different than addition. Addition inside of a church says, how many people can I reach? There are churches that are doing a great job of reaching people. They're adding people to their church. But multiplication asks a different question. Multiplication asks the question, who can I reach, or who can we reach, who can then reach others also? Because the truth of the matter is, if the mission of the church, if the mission of going and making disciples depends on a few people, a few elite people, the professionals, the paid staff, then the mission will bottleneck. But if, and I like to say when every disciple, when every single one of us as followers of Jesus here at Zion begin to ask the question, who am I helping? Who am I helping to follow Jesus? Then the mission can flow through the entire body. That has always been the vision. That is what we see in the New Testament. That when it comes to reaching the world, we are, the church, is God's plan A. And there is no plan B. Again, look at the text again. Paul doesn't tell Timothy to guard what he received. He says to entrust. Entrust what you've been given. And that word matters. To entrust means that you recognize that what you possess is not meant to be held on to. It's not meant to just stay with you. You don't just hold on to it and guard it and protect it. To entrust means that you give it to somebody else. The gospel, listen, the gospel doesn't belong to you. The gospel is not something that you own. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, is something that we have been given, but we've been given for a reason, and so that we can give it to others. The gospel is something that we steward, not something that we sit on. It's the difference between thinking of ourselves as conduits or cul-de-sacs. And a cul-de-sac is, right? We don't have a ton of subdivisions, but a cul-de-sac, right? It's inside of a subdivision. If you lived on a cul-de-sac, it's basically a dead-end street. Things can go in, but they don't go anywhere else. They don't keep going. They stop at the cul-de-sac. And unfortunately, when it comes to our Christian life and the gospel, that's what a lot of us have become. We've become cul-de-sacs. We're glad that we've received it. We're holding on to it, but we're not conduits. What's a conduit, right? A conduit is something that something flows through. Water flows through a conduit in the ground, right? Wires flow through conduit that's been buried or in a wall, right? It's not intended to stop things. It's a conduit. It's a place where things flow through. That's what we're supposed to be as followers of Jesus. We're conduits of the gospel. And Paul says to entrust the gospel. Not to impressive people or polished people or charismatic people. He says entrust it to faithful people. Because in the kingdom of God, faithfulness is what God is looking for. He's not looking for flash. He's looking for people who are faithful, people who will lean in, people who are willing, people who are teachable, people who will show up. And this morning, if you know Jesus, I know most of us in this room are, or do, if you're walking with Jesus, if you're growing in obedience to Jesus, if you're making your way along this pathway, you have something to share. You have the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pass it on. Pass it on. Again, you don't have to help everyone or help every, you don't have to know everything to help someone. And we've said this at Zion over the years when it comes to discipleship. Who am I qualified to disciple? Anybody who's a step behind you. That's it. Find somebody who hasn't been walking with Jesus as long as you have, who hasn't grown to the point that you have, who hasn't taken the steps that you have. Find somebody one step behind you and you just turn around and say, hey, come with me. Let me help you. Let me show you. Let me slow down so that you can come and catch up and walk with me. Let me take a step back so I can meet you where you're at. Whatever it looks like. Imagine if we all did that. If we collectively said, we are going to pass this along to others. But it's hard. It's hard to do. Because life. Because people. Because stuff. But notice again in the text where Paul starts off, he says this. He says, you then, my child. He says, be strengthened. How? By the determination and grit that you possess? By your just, you know, all-in commitment? No. He says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the progression matters. But before Timothy is told to entrust anything to anyone, he is told to be strengthened by grace. And what does that say to you? I don't know what it says to you, but to me it's a reminder that reproducing doesn't start with guilt and manipulation. It's not about trying harder. It starts with us who long to be at that point in our journey. I want to be a reproducing. I want to be a multiplying disciple. I want to be the kind of follower of Jesus who helps other people learn what it looks like to follow Jesus. That's what I want. If that's the desire, it begins with grace. You have to be a daily recipient of the grace of God, recognizing that what you do is really not about you. It's all about Him. It's all about His grace. Why? If we talk about multiplication without grace, first of all, being recipients of it, we will crush people. We'll crush people. We'll turn discipleship into another religious task that we feel like I got to do this because, well, the pastor's asking me to do it. This is what we're supposed to do, right? But Paul says, no, Timothy, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And at the end of the day, we can't give what we're not receiving. And when it comes to multiplying disciples, when it comes to reproducing disciples, it calls for a lot of grace. Why? Because this part of our journey is deeply relational. And this is where ministry gets messy, because relationships get messy, because people don't grow on our timeline. People will disappoint. People sometimes will disappear. Ever been ghosted by somebody that you're trying to build into? Trying to help? And they just disappear? Sometimes people will take two steps forward and then they'll take three steps backward. Anybody ever have that experience as you're working with people? Don't raise your hand, because that person might be in the room like, hey, you thinking about me? Right? But if you've been following Jesus and you understand this is an important part of our journey, you also understand sometimes the setbacks and the frustration that can come when we're trying to pour into somebody else's life. And if you're not strengthened by grace regularly, daily, moment by moment, you will get irritated. You will get frustrated. You will get discouraged. You might even become resentful. Reminded, this week I was meeting with somebody talking about this kind of idea in a different setting, about how, you know, when we pour ourselves into people and they walk away from you nonetheless. And I reminded them of something that I've always appreciated about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. As a matter of fact, let me just go ahead and read it. So I want to make sure I get it right. Off script. Paul said this. He said, I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? That's how Paul felt. He had gotten to a point in his life where he's writing this church to this church in Corinth. He's like, look, I have given myself to you gladly. Why is it that I feel like the more I love you, the less I'm loved by you? And that can be discouraging, and that can be frustrating. And if you've ever built into somebody's life, you know that's the case. But grace, when we're strengthened by grace, when we're connected to the grace of God in our lives each and every day, it allows us to approach multiplying, reproducing, building into somebody else's life a little bit differently. It allows us to say, you know what, I'm going to love you faithfully, no matter what. I'm going to invest in you patiently, even if I'm not seeing any spiritual fruit from it. I will teach you truthfully, even when I have to say some hard things. I will push on you gently. I'm not trying to manipulate you or guilt you, but I will push on you gently. I will walk with you consistently. All of those things, when we're strengthened by grace, we can do that. But then, at the end of the day, we can say, but I will trust Jesus for the results. I'm going to trust Jesus for the results. That's grace-strengthened multiplication. 2 Timothy 2 gives us the structure, but then there's a couple of other verses that I want us to see in 1 Thessalonians. Turn just a couple of pages over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Paul writing to another church. If 2 Timothy 2 gives us the structure, then 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 7 and 8 gives us kind of Paul's heart that I think we need to connect with if we're going to become reproducing disciples. Paul wrote this. He said, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. Verse 8, listen to what he says. He says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves or our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Paul says, look, what I gave you wasn't just information. I gave you my life, and I'm doing it, and I did it gladly. And again, we understand this, Zion. We're learning this. I shouldn't say we get this, but we're learning this, that there is a difference between a class and discipleship. A class gives you information. There is nothing wrong with a class. We need information in order to learn, right? But there's a difference between a class and discipleship. A sermon is great. Glad you're here. I will continue to try to communicate to you through sermon form the truth of Jesus Christ as revealed to us in the scripture. Sermon is great for teaching. A podcast gives you good content. Listen to good podcasts. Great. Awesome. All of those things are good things. Nothing wrong with them. But discipleship, the New Testament vision, the New Testament model, is really about sharing our lives around the way of Jesus. It's someone saying, come close enough to me. Come close enough to me to see how this following Jesus thing looks in real life. Watch how I pray. Watch how I repent. Watch how I handle conflict. Watch how I keep coming back to the gospel. Watch how I keep coming back to grace. Proximity is key for us to become reproducing, multiplying disciples. And proximity is something that your favorite online personality, your favorite online podcaster can never provide. They'll never do that. You need proximity with people. And people need proximity with you. And again, that brings us back to this distinction that I think, again, we need to put in play and be reminded of. Maturing is when I carry responsibility. Reproducing is when I invite someone close enough to me to learn from my life. And again, this is just, I love you, and I love you enough to be honest with you. It is very possible to be a mature follower of Jesus, but never get to reproducing. You can be rock solid in your discipline. I use words. You can be rock solid in your spiritual disciplines. You can have an active prayer life, an active time with God. You can give regularly. You can shoulder responsibility of ministry. You can serve faithfully. There's so many things that you can do that would cause other people to look at you and go, that's a mature follower of Jesus. You can carry that maturity for the rest of your life without ever passing it along to somebody else. Without ever getting to the point that says, you know what, I'm not just going to shoulder the load. I'm going to help somebody else learn how to shoulder the load. I'm not just going to read and study and pray. I'm going to teach somebody else to read and study and pray. I'm not going to just share the gospel. I'm going to show somebody else what it looks like to share the gospel. And I say that to you, Zion, lovingly. I say that to you gently because I know so many of you are at that stage. You are mature. You have taken ownership of your own faith. And again, many of you have taken ownership of the things that go on around here. We can't do what we do without you. Zion is, again, carried by people who show up, serve quietly, lead teams, pray, give, love, and care. But I want to press in a little bit further today. The goal at Zion is not just for ministry to get done. The goal is for disciples to be made. And that's different. It's different. It looks different. It changes kind of how we view things, how we prioritize things, how we calendar things. It's how we do everything. So what does a reproducing disciple actually look like? Again, this is going to be tied back into where we've been, but I want to put it in bite-sized, practical, application-oriented steps for all of us. If you're not here now, that's okay. But imagine a church filled with men and women who are moving in this direction, who are committed to getting to this point in their journey where they say, you know what? I'm not a perfect disciple, but I'm a multiplying disciple. I'm a reproducing disciple. I'm a conduit. I'm not a cul-de-sac. Imagine the kind of difference we could make. So there are three things. First, and you've already heard it, reproducing disciples invest deeply. Where do I get that from? Well, that's what Paul said. We shared our own selves. Again, this goes back to proximity. You can't reproduce from a distance. You can inspire from a distance. You can influence from a distance, but you cannot disciple from a distance. Discipleship requires access. Not perfect access, not total access, not unhealthy access, but it requires real access to your life, to your time. It means a meal. It means a conversation, a car ride, a prayer. It means we have to create space where people can be around us in a way that makes them feel comfortable enough to ask questions like, how do you actually do this thing called follow Jesus? Help a brother out. Help a sister out. Help me. We have to be willing to invest deeply. And again, most people don't just need to be told what to do. They don't need a class. They need to see it lived. It's one of the reasons why I think Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I think 11, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow my example. And I know that that sentence can make some of us very uncomfortable. Like, oh, I know me. I don't want anybody to follow me the way I follow Christ because I sure stumble and fall and I sure make mistakes. Welcome to the club. People don't need perfect examples, but they do need living examples. And if you're willing to be a living example of what it looks like to follow Jesus, welcome. Let's go. Again, not perfect, but imitatable. Are you willing to invite somebody in to imitate what it looks like for you to follow Jesus? Can somebody imitate the way you repent, the way you pray, the way you forgive, the way that you handle the scriptures, the way that you respond to pressure, the way that you love others? Again, not perfectly, but are you doing those things sincerely? Just sincerely. Invest in people deeply. The second thing, teach faithfully. Reproducing disciples, teach faithfully. Again, this is that what you have heard from me, Paul to Timothy, entrust. That means that we don't just share our lives. We share something of substance. We share the truth. Sharing life without sharing truth can just become, you know, sappy sentimentality. Can just become, let's hold hands and let's, you know, walk through this thing called life together, right? Or if you're a dude, it's just a buddy cop movie, right? And we're just, you know, ragging on each other. Life without truth is not what we're looking for. But truth without life is just too abstract. It's just too, if discipleship was dependent upon again, being sermon-driven, classroom-driven, it can easily just become abstract. It gets fleshed out in relationships, in real life, during the week. And again, you don't have to be a professional. You don't have to have some seminary degree. Sometimes entrusting the truth and trusting the gospel to somebody else sounds simply like, hey, let's read this passage together and talk about it. Here's where I've struggled with this part of my journey. Hey, let's pray about this together. Hey, let's think about what obedience might look like in our lives when it comes to this command together. The third thing, again, reproducing disciples, multiply intentionally. This is the entrust with others who can also teach others also part. Paul is not only thinking about Timothy, he's thinking about people Timothy has not even met yet and who perhaps would never meet. Paul has a generational vision that he unpacks for Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, what I'm giving to you is not supposed to end with you. And that is how the gospel has always progressed for the last 2,000 years. The gospel has always moved forward, not through platforms or events, but through ordinary disciples who pass on what they've been taught, who tell what they know to somebody else. One person investing in another person. One leader developing another leader. One believer walking with another believer. And again, at Zion, that's one of the reasons why our discipleship groups are so important. Our discipleship groups are not perfect. They're not the end-all, be-all, but they are our strategy to building the kind of disciples that we're talking about today. Because D groups are intended to be reproducing environments, multiplication factories. The long-term health of our D groups, I'm just going to speak a little bit of vision before we wrap this up. The long-term health of our D groups will not be determined by how many groups we actually have. And right now, I think we have up close to between 15 and 20, 15 to 20-ish, something like that. It will be determined by whether those groups are producing disciples who can produce disciples. Are they raising up leaders? Our discipleship groups are not just a weekly meeting. The meeting is not the mission. The mission is discipleship, helping people grow from exploring to beginning, to growing, to maturing, to ultimately reproducing. That's the vision. So, the question, Zion, are we developing people who can develop people? Are we developing people who can develop people? Because you don't want this, and I don't want this. I don't think, want Zion to just be a church where people attend. Attendance is overrated. Showing up in a room is overrated. I'm glad you're here. Keep showing up, right? But I want us to be a church, and I think you want us to be a church where disciples are made. We want to be a church where not just a few people carry the responsibility, carry the mission, but we want to be a church where the mission moves and is carried by everyone who calls Zion home. That's my prayer. That's my dream. That's our dream, I hope, because I think that's in line with God's dream for his church. So, again, as we close up the series and worship team comes, we'll come back again to the question, where am I and what's my next step? Where am I and what's my next step? Not the person next to you, but yours. Again, maybe you're here today and you'd say, I'm still exploring, Trent. I appreciate you welcoming me. I'm an explorer. I don't know about this whole Jesus thing, this faith thing, this Bible thing. I'm glad you're here. Welcome. Please keep coming. Please keep asking questions. But maybe you're here and you've been exploring and you're ready to begin. Your next step is to begin. And what does that look like? That looks like putting your faith in Jesus Christ. To believe the good news of the gospel. To say, Jesus, I believe that you lived and died and rose again. And putting your hope in him alone. And if that's where you're at today, begin. Do that. Tell Christ that you want to follow him, that you believe in him. Then what, Trent? Well, I'm glad you asked. Then tell me. And then let's get you baptized. Let's get you in a pool of water so that you can publicly announce to the world, I'm following Jesus and I'm not ashamed. Maybe you're still trying to figure out this growing thing, man. You're up and down, up and down. Listen, I'm with you. I hear you. We can apply this idea of growing to other stages of other areas of life, right? Consistency is the key. Keep looking to be consistent in those small habits. Be consistent in small ways and just keep building off of that. Maybe you're in that maturing stage or you're moving toward that maturing stage and you're beginning to ask, where can I take responsibility? There's got to be something that I can shoulder. There's got to be some more ways that I can lean in. And if you're looking for ways to lean in, let me know. Use that connection card that says, I want to take some more steps. Can we meet together, have a cup of coffee? Can we meet on Zoom? Can we have some kind of a conversation to think about what I need to do to continue to mature in my faith? And again, maybe you're here and you're like, I want to get to that point where I'm multiplying, I'm reproducing. Not because you know everything, not because you're perfect, but because grace has strengthened you and the gospel has been entrusted to you. And you know that there is someone else who needs the good news that you've been given. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor. May Zion be the kind of church where disciples are made, where people are not only gathered but formed, not only served but are sent, not only maturing but are reproducing. And may each of us be able to say, what I have received, I will pass on. By the grace of God, I'm going to help someone follow Jesus too. Let me ask you to bow your heads. This idea of multiplying, obviously, and I shouldn't say obviously, some of us maybe we don't think about this. It always starts at home. If you're a parent, disciple your kids. Disciple them well. Disciple them deeply. That's your first calling. But don't let it stop there. Don't let it stop there. Look beyond your family. Look beyond your home. Because there are other people that need you as well. We're going to go to a time of communion, but before we actually take communion, I want to make sure that you are given an opportunity to respond. And so that response can look a lot of different ways. Maybe there's something specific that you know you need to do. Grab that connection card, take a minute to fill it out, and you can, you know, you can leave it in the bucket on your way out, but if you want to, just come and leave it on the communion table when you come and take the communion elements. And it's just kind of your way of saying, yeah, here's my commitment. Here's a step that I know I need to take. Please feel free to do that. But as we go into a time of communion, before you take the elements, take a minute to pray, God, where am I and what's my next step? And then just listen and respond as God calls you to. If you're a believer, this moment of communion is for you. If you're not yet a believer, again, we would encourage you just to watch. This is something that we do regularly to remember Christ's death. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Move in us and through us in these moments. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Come and take the elements and stand and sing as you feel led.